before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, saying, "Salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb." All the angels stood around the throne, and the elders, and the four living creatures, and fell on their faces before the throne, and worshiped God, saying, "Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom, thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Then one of the elders answered, saying, "Who are these arrayed in white robes, and where did they come from?" And I said to him, "Sir, you know." So he said to me, "These are the ones who come out of the great tribulation and washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will dwell among them. They shall neither hunger anymore, nor thirst anymore. The sun shall not strike them, nor any heat. For the Lamb who is in the midst of the throne will shepherd them and lead them to living fountains of waters. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." Oh Lord, help us to be able to understand rightly these verses of Scripture and apply them to our lives today. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's all have a seat. We're going to break this down a little bit as we look. So there's different thoughts on this particular scripture. You're going to find different people that, you know, study the Bible who are going to have a different explanation for where these saints are coming out of. Because, first of all, we know that in this world we'll have tribulation. Jesus told us that. Amen? So in a sense, all believers who ever come to Christ are going to have to live through some tribulation if we continue to breathe after we come to Christ, until the time that it comes that we go to stand before him. But I think I take the viewpoint on this that since it uses the term great tribulation, that is stipulating that these are believers that come out of the time of that 7-year period where it's like none other the world has ever seen. And so I want you to imagine a picture. So as we see, the rapture is described to the church at Thessalonica as being a surprise event. That there's you know, it shouldn't surprise us as believers because we've been warned. We should know that it hasn't happened yet because they were being told during those days that it had already happened, and some of them just missed out. Imagine how you would feel if you thought that you missed out on the rapture. Amen? Are we all on the same page? And so he was reassuring them so that they wouldn't live an unstable life, that if they are a believer, they would be included among the number of the people that would be raptured or caught up together in the air at this surprise event. Now, he tells us that, and then Jesus also told us that we could look at the signs and know whenever we're getting close, but we're not going to know the day or the hour. So that tells me that the rapture is most definitely going to happen at the beginning of the tribulation. I don't believe it's going to be a mid-trib rapture. I don't believe it's going to be a rapture after the tribulation is over. So how could we have believers coming out of the tribulation? If we take those to be true that I just stated, then we would have to believe that people are going to come to the Lord during the tribulation. Amen? So I want you to imagine if we had a surprise event, and let's just say that it happened today, because we are seeing a lot of signs, amen? Let's just say that it happened today, that in a moment, there was a trumpet blast, Jesus appeared from heaven, and he caught his church up together with him immediately. Let's just say he whisked every believer out. And all that was left behind was our belongings and the memory of us to all those that we had preached to that had not yet received the Lord. Now, I want you to imagine that for just a second. I've never seen the Left Behind series, so don't think I'm getting it from the Left Behind series. I am basing everything that I say from what I see in Scripture. So let me take for a moment, and they may have gotten it right. I'm just telling you, I'm not just going by popular theology. What I'm trying to do is is really bring out of the scripture what I see. So I'm imagining that every believer who exists before the tribulation starts is whisked out, which then would trigger trials like we've never seen on planet Earth, no doubt. Because the fact that there's believers on Earth right now is the reason why this is a bearable place to live. Because God is giving his blessing through his church. Otherwise, you would not want to be here. And so what we see is, let's imagine for a moment that this is the situation. Imagine the people who are left behind. And they heard their friends tell them about Jesus. They heard them talk about how there's a heaven and a hell. They heard them talk about how one day they would be caught up together with Christ in the air. It would be a surprise event. And all of a sudden, lo and behold, all those friends who had ever talked about that are gone. I would imagine that it might pique their interest, don't you think? And then we just read last week how there were 144,000 who were sealed to go out as evangelists out of the tribes of Israel to tell everybody about Christ who remained on the earth during the tribulation. Well, let's imagine that we put all this together and we have this information and people are told about Christ whenever things are getting so bad and they have no hope and they are just amazed at how terrible things could get in such a short amount of time. If you were told at that time the only escape is to give your life to Christ and the Holy Spirit was being poured out, I believe that we might see an ingathering of souls like we've never seen in the history of the world. I believe that you could see many people coming to Christ, but I believe they're going to be coming to Christ in a time that is worse than any other time the world has ever seen as well, because Jesus told us that. That's how it would be. In fact, if you want to think about what the Great Tribulation would be like, in this first slide, I want you to listen to the words of Christ that he spoke and was recorded in the Gospel of Matthew 24, verses 21 through 22. For then there will be great tribulation. You understand why I think this is the period of time that these believers are coming out of? Such as has not been since the beginning of the world until this time. Now this is Christ speaking, so he remembers times like when God had to destroy the world because it had gotten so bad, but he lifted up and allowed Noah to be the one to restart the human race. This is the same God who's saying, this time's going to be worse than that time. And I don't think that it's just a play on words, and I don't think that he's just reminiscing and forgetting about that time either. When he says, this time's going to be worse than any other time in the history of the world, he means it. I'll tell you what makes it worse. The other times we saw there was still a mercy of God that was present in the world. This time of 7 years of tribulation is going to be God himself pouring his wrath out on the world. There is none stronger than God. There is none more powerful than God. The one who created also has the power to destroy as a judgment. And so it's very important that we understand what Jesus is saying. He says, for then there will be great tribulation such as has not been since the beginning of the world until this time, nor ever shall be. And unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved, but for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. That's why I believe that there are going to be people coming to faith during that time. Because he says that it's for their sake that the days are shortened. So how will this difficulty in this life affect us in heaven? Well, I think we get a beautiful glimpse into that when we read about these believers who come to the Lord during the time that is worse than any other time in the history of the world. You see, they have tears. Have you ever shed tears in your life? Have you ever gone through that time where you were just so sad after you came to Christ that you would wonder, how could God let me go through this? How, you know, does he really love me? Should I really continue to follow him? You know, guys, if we're honest, we're going to say, yes, it's the human experience. There are times when we're going to question and we're going to wonder, man, is this really all worth it? I'm here to encourage you today to tell you, yes, it's worth it. And we get no better example of that than to look at these verses of Scripture from Revelation 7, because I want you to imagine these people coming to faith during a time that is so terrible. And they are treated so horribly. They are martyred quickly in this new time that has been like none other, this seven-year tribulation. But then I want you to see that even though they come into heaven, they enter into heaven with tears. Look at what happens to those tears. I'm going to go to the end of this chapter in verse 17 before I go back and take it apart, because I want you to hear this part, because this gives me hope. And I said to him, the angel asked him if he knew where they came from, and I said to him, sir, you know. And he said, these are the ones who come out of the great tribulation, washed their robes, and made them white with the blood of the Lamb. And go back up to that next slide there that we're already on. For the Lamb who is in the midst of the throne will shepherd them and lead them to living fountains of water. And listen to that last part. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Guys, I'm going to tell you, no matter how hard it gets in this world, no matter even if you came to Christ during those last days where the tribulation was so terrible, it was like none other the world has ever seen. Imagine Jesus walking up to you and saying, well done, good and faithful servant, and wiping the tears off your eyes. Would it be worth it? Would it be worth it to get to that moment? It would be worth anything we have to get through to do it. So if you think your tribulation is bad today, keep going forward, brother. Keep going forward, sister, because I'm going to tell you, when Jesus greets us into heaven, you'll not regret anything you had to go through to get there. You're going to be so overjoyed in his presence. So what else does this look like? Even these who come out of this time of great tribulation, look at what it says. Their robes are made white. You know, this is a sign of them being purified. Their sins are purified. They are no more. Look at what it says. It doesn't matter like what we're coming out of, beloved. What matters is that we let him cleanse us. And we give everything to him. All the bumps, all the bruises, all the sin, everything we've ever done wrong. Don't hide anything from him so that he can fully cleanse you. Look at what it says in verse 14. And this is where he's been revealed. Sir, you know, he says, these are the ones that come out of the great tribulation. And look at how they wash their robes. And washed their robes and made them white. In what? The blood of the Lamb. Let's say that together. The blood of the Lamb. It's the only thing that can cleanse our sins. If you think your good works can cleanse your sins, you're insulting God. You're insulting Jesus, our Savior. If you think that it's dependent on you cleaning yourself up before you can come to him, you got another thing coming, because only his blood can wash our robes as white as the Lamb. We need that blood of a Lamb. Same blood that saves them out of that great tribulation. You see, we have an Old Testament reference to this as well in Zechariah chapter 3, verse 4. And this is a picture of Joshua the high priest, who Satan is standing there accusing before the Lord. And he's saying he can't serve you because he's got sin, is basically what's going on here. And then he answered and spoke to those who stood by. This is Jesus, pre-incarnate Jesus. And he says, take away the filthy garments from him. And to him he said, see, I have removed your iniquity from you, and I will clothe you with rich robes. Man, we are seeing that totally exposed in the book of Revelation, consistent with Zechariah chapter 3. And then what we see happens to these saints that are coming out of the tribulation, we have to ask, was it worth it for the treatment they had to take? Look at what happens next. Therefore, they are before the throne of God. I want you to know they get the ability to serve before God's throne continually. Praise God, what an honor. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will dwell among them. Would it be worth anything that you had to go through so that you could serve before the throne of God in purity? Praise God that he can take away every sin. Amen. He takes away every sin. Whenever you come to Christ, he doesn't say, well, I'm going to take away this sin, and that sin, but there's that one there. No, that one's still going to plague you, and I'm not sure if I'm going to forgive you of that. That is not the way Christ forgives us. You see, whenever he was on the cross and he said, it's finished, he meant that what needed to be done to pay for every sin was done. Your only need is to repent and turn to him. You turn away from that sin and you turn to Christ. Now the sin that you keep trying to hold on to, you want to keep it, you want to do it, and you don't care if it displeases God or not, that's going to continue to plague you. You need to give it up. You need to give it over to him. You just need to surrender. You know, the night I came to Christ, I can still remember the feeling. I was sitting there arguing with God, and I said, God, I've been too sinful. And he said, just give me your life. And I argued with God a little more in prayer, and I said, Lord, my life's so messed up, you couldn't use me. And you know what he said? The same thing over again, just give it to me. That night, I just surrendered. Came out with my hands up. I said, Lord, I don't know what you're going to do, and I don't know how painful it's going to be, but I know I can't do it, and so I'm giving everything to you. You know, I didn't even know if I could. In fact, I argued with God a little bit. I said, I don't know that I can do this. And he said, trust me. You need to trust Christ today. You need to trust Christ today. Please don't be distracted by those little voices, guys. Don't be distracted by the little voices. They'll learn. We need them to be with their parents and worship together. They will learn. Praise God that we have children in this church. We have seen so many churches that are dying. The church that's alive has children and has all ages, and so I want to praise God for them. I trust that the parents know how to take care of them, and they're doing it. As we look here, we can see that the goal here of people who suffer for the faith, it's just to get before Jesus and serve him with everything. Guys, I'm going to tell you, we haven't known suffering like a lot of the world has. There are people in other countries that are suffering for the faith now, and there's going to come a time whenever it's going to be so hard to confess Christ, but it's still worth it. Old Testament reference to being able to serve before him, we find in Zechariah chapter 3, verse 5, and I said, let them put a clean turban on his head. Remember, Joshua the high priest had sin on him. And Jesus himself said, look, I'll cleanse him. I'll put a new, fresh, royal robe on him so that he can serve. And so then the prophet Zechariah says, let them also put a clean turban on his head. That kind of messes with our head. We're not sure what that means. I'm going to tell you, the turban was necessary. The head covering was necessary for him to serve God fully. What is being asked here is, don't just cleanse him, but help him to be able to serve. Give him what he needs. Same God will give us everything that we need so that we can serve him. And so he said, so they put a clean turban on his head, and they put the clothes on him, and the angel of the Lord stood by. Satan's going to come. He's going to accuse you, just like we see here in Zechariah. He's going to say, you've been too bad. You can't serve God, but you just turn around and you say, but I belong to Jesus. He's the one that's going to enable me to serve him. By his grace, we are healed. You see, as we continue on in this journey through Revelation, verses 16 and 17, we see that Jesus also provides all their needs personally. Look at what it says. They shall neither hunger anymore, nor thirst anymore. The sun shall not strike them, nor any heat. For the Lamb who is in the midst of the throne will shepherd them and lead them to living fountains of water. And God will wipe every tear from their eyes. Just reminding, Jesus is their provision. Do you wonder, if I give my life fully to Christ, how will I make it? How can I make it? How can I go forward if I'm fully surrendered to Him? I'll just tell you, you trust Jesus and He'll take care of it. And these are literally receiving that in heaven. They were mistreated. Every right was taken from them. They were beaten for their faith. They were literally their lives taken away from them. But when they made it to heaven, Jesus Himself took care of everything that they needed. Trust Jesus. He is able. So I just want to finish with this thought. Any suffering we have to go through or would had to have gone through to get there, it'll be worth it. It will be worth it. Revelation chapter 7, verse 15. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve Him day and night in His temple. And He who sits on the throne will dwell among them. You keep up, keep on keeping on with Jesus. And in the end, I will give you a guarantee from Scripture, not from me, from Scripture, from God Himself. It will be worth it. Let me pray for you. Dear Father in heaven, there's many in this room. We have different age groups and different thoughts. We have different experiences in life, but what I know is there is no sacrifice too great for us to make to live for Jesus, because You've already made all of the sacrifice of Yourself to save us. So, Lord, we don't do this to try to earn our salvation, but, Lord, let us be absolutely committed to live in for You because of what You've already done for us. Help us to do it for the joy that's set before us as well. As we live as a witness of You in this cruel and dark world, there are people that literally hate Christians for no other reason than the fact that we're Christians. It's hard for us to understand. It's hard for us to fathom unless we look at the spiritual battle. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. It's against these powers of darkness, these principalities of darkness. It's against Satan and all of the demonic forces. Yes, He does use people. We see that. But ultimately, the battle is won on our knees. We have to stay submitted to You. Help us to do it for the joy that's set before us, to someday hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Lord, I know that in and of myself, I am so far from that, but You are creating in me a new heart, a clean heart. It's happening day by day. It's called sanctification, and I need to stay in that no matter what kind of trials come my way. Lord, I'm looking at our world right now, and it just is growing increasingly dark. We can see that the enemy is taking strides. I think the reason why it's being allowed to happen in the United States is right now is because we are unwilling to repent of our sin as a people. I can't control what other people do, but I can do something about me. And so, Lord, let me repent of the known sin in my life. Let me put myself under Your shelter. Let me come to You and say, "Lord, use me. Use me. Darkness is the absence of light. Let me stand in that place. And even if I have to take on abuse, I want to be a witness for You. Lord, let me do it for the joy that's set before me, that someday I too will stand in heaven." Thank You that You show us even people that come out of the worst of the great tribulation are still going to have fullness of joy when they step foot into heaven. So help us to be willing just to follow our Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name I pray.